Welcome back, friends, to our next episode of Take It Off. This is Julie, and I'm here with Jess today.
Hi, guys.
How are you today?
Good. Yeah, ready to dive into another episode.
Yeah. Well, today we're going to talk about authenticity. And when we first said we were going to talk about this, I might have done a little eye roll because I feel like authenticity, I mean, you can't like throw a stone without reading an article or listening to a podcast or seeing something online about authenticity. In fact, I think, and I double checked this, authenticity was actually the word of the year in 2023. Did you know that?
I did not, but it's not surprising because like you said, I feel like every article I pull up is all about, yeah, showing up as your truest self. And yeah, it's no wonder that we're here having this discussion today.
Yeah. But when Jess brought this topic to me, she didn't just say authenticity. She said, let's talk about fearless authenticity. And I liked that better, but I still had questions for you, right? Like, what does fearless mean? Because I said to you, I feel like I always have fear. And so for me, I like to call my authenticity courageous authenticity because I know that in order to show up with all of Julie, it requires some courage. And I love the word courage because it actually comes from the Latin base core. Did you know this?
No, I had no clue.
Which means heart.
Oh.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah. Actually, I had no clue.
Yeah.
I love that even more now.
Yeah. I love words and understanding the meaning behind them. And courageous just seems to fit for me because I need to, it takes, you know, my heart to show up and be brave and operate even if I am scared, even if I do have fear. To show up as myself. But once we talked more about fearless authenticity, you explained to me what that actually means to you. And then I was like, oh, I really like that. So tell us what you mean by fearless authenticity.
Yeah, I think that we are really looking at it the same way. We're just kind of using different words to describe it, right? Like, how do we dig really deep within ourselves to show up authentically? And either way, courage and fear go hand in hand, right? Mm-hmm. So when I think of fearless authenticity, I think of it more as like fearless. So fear is an essential part of our lives, right? Mm-hmm. Originally, we experienced fear as part of our like fight or flight mechanism, right? We're running from bears or, you know, whatever the wild animal is of the story. And you experience fear because that's what makes you run. Today, you know, fear, we don't experience it in the same way, but many of us, especially, you know, entrepreneurs or, you know, people, well, anyone experiences fear really. But if I think about it through the lens of like entrepreneurialism, I think we face fears every day, right? Mm-hmm. Fear of failure, fear of success, fear of commitment. You know, I could go on and on. And I think that fear is still necessary. We're never going to live without fear, but I think that fear really marks the edge of our comfort zone, right? So when you're living in your comfort zone, you're not experiencing fear. And as soon as you start to feel those like ripples of fear, you know that you're like pressing up against your edges.
Yeah.
And when you press up against your edges, that's when you grow.
Yeah.
So when you have that fearlessness to walk with the fear, you let fear be part of your journey. Maybe you give it a seat in the back. You never, you know, give it the keys. It's never in the driver's seat, but you know that you're inviting fear on your journey. It's going to lead you to growth.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're just really intentional about walking that edge of your comfort zone. So fearless authenticity I see as just fearing less. Like it's still going to be a part of you, but you kind of let the fear guide you in some ways. So,
but never give it the keys.
Never give it the keys. Yeah. That fear is not taking the driver's seat.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, showing up authentically really requires a deep amount of courage and fearlessness to some extent. So
I really like how you said fear shows up when you're pushing your edges, like just outside of your comfort zone. And That's a really great way of describing that. And that feeling, it's almost like a physical, like a visceral feeling, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so I have to tell like just a quick like side story. Mm-hmm. Because I love that you shared how fear is primal, right? Like mm-hmm. it comes from like fight or flight. And this summer, our family vacationed in Gatlinburg. Mm-hmm. And if you've ever been to Gatlinburg, they are known for their bears. And one night I was sitting outside on the patio and I heard this rustling and my husband came out and said, "What's that sound?" And I was like, "Oh, there have been things in the woods like all night." He said, "No, I think we should really go inside." And the second we turned and walked inside, a bear came walking down right by where I was sitting. And that same feeling that I had when I saw that bear is the feeling that you get when you're pushing up against your edges. Mm-hmm. So it was almost interesting to like experience that like mm-hmm. in the wild, quote unquote. Because now I know when I'm feeling it in my work and in life, when there's not actually a bear mm-hmm. right beside me, I know what it is and I can name it.
That's interesting because similarly, but I guess more within my control, I think about what I do when I'm maybe pushing up against my edges and I'm having a fear of stepping into the fear. Like amusement parks. I used to love rides. I know you guys are big amusement park people.
We are.
I don't love heights and I don't love that like drop in your stomach feeling. But at our local amusement park, we have these towers and to me, they're terrifying.
Yes.
But when I need like a good dose of like that feeling of fear and knowing like, wait a minute, I just did that and I'm fine.
Yeah.
I just go back and visit those towers and I'll do like a higher tower and then a higher tower. And it's just like a really primal feeling. But it sets me right into that like zone of like, wait a minute, like that was easy. I just did that and it's fine.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is. It's like, it is such a visceral feeling.
Yeah.
But when you do feel it, you know it's not so scary.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, going back to, you know, this idea of fearless or courageous authenticity mm-hmm. in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's so many, it's talked about in so many ways, right? It's a catchphrase now, and a lot of times we're talking about, I mean, a lot of times I think it's women talking about living authentically.
Yeah.
And I have to ask, do you think that there is a major difference in the workplace between how women show up authentically or the expectation of women to show up authentically and men showing up authentically?
Yes. Yeah. My short answer is yes. And I would love, and maybe this is a challenge for us, I'd love to talk to some of my professional male colleagues about, you know, how much time they spend thinking about this. I might be surprised, but mm-hmm. I'm guessing it's not as much time as we do.
Yeah.
So to answer your question a little more fully, I absolutely think that the way women show up and the way men show up authentically is different, right? And I really think it comes from just how the workplace was designed in the first place, right? It was certainly more male dominated than it is today. And there are certain characteristics that are just more common in men than women, right? So, for example, forcefulness, being bold, aggressive, authoritative even. I mean, those are just more natural to a man, if I may say. And so when we talk about women now in the workforce and how we have to show up, I think for a long time, women thought that to be a leader, to get promoted, to get, you know, the raise that you earned or you deserve, that we had to be the same way. And it just doesn't come off naturally for most of us. Women are much more stronger in the characteristics of empathy, intuition, rather than an authoritative leadership model, more of a coaching leadership model, right? And I think we're just now, you know, within the past decade, maybe not even that long, seeing women say, you know what, that doesn't feel right. And I'm going to try to do it my way and see what happens. And we need more women to do that because, you know, any study that you read, I read a lot of studies from McKinsey Consulting, and they put out a study, I want to say last year, and they showed that more companies that were more gender diverse actually outperformed their less diverse counterparts, which is awesome, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not enough to just have men and women in equal share in the workplace. We need the men to bring their strengths and we need the women to bring our strengths, right? Otherwise, you don't get diversity, right? It's just men and women, right?
and they need to, I feel like, be respected for what each of them bring to the table, right? Because a woman who shows up in more of a nurturing capacity maybe in the past has been seen as like soft or weak, like in a negative way, right? Yeah. And so maybe when they both embrace the strengths of each other, like, I don't know.
Yeah. Because, you know, I think the reason why those companies perform better is because of the diversity of thought, right? The diversity of experiences, the diversity of values, right? Mm-hmm. That's what leads to more, you know, innovative problem solving, creative solutions, mm-hmm. You know, understanding your customers better who might look like the women in your workforce, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's one thing to say, well, as women, we need to show up authentically. Just do it, right? Just go to work and be empathetic and use your intuition. But what we really need to think about is, are we giving women the support they need to do that so that they can be the leaders that our businesses need?
Yeah, it's funny to think back on how much it has changed in the past, like, decade or two. I think mm-hmm. back to, you know, when I first entered the workforce, I was fresh out of college and I started a job in public relations. And this job, it was a very small PR firm in Washington, D.C., and our target audience was government IT clients, right? Mm-hmm. So very male-dominated. And the advice I got from the beginning, it was sort of indirect advice, but it was very clear what the expectation was, is that as a young woman fresh out of college, I was not to present myself as a woman, right? I was never, you know, I was to wear a suit and I was to wear a pantsuit, never a skirt suit, never, you know, never feminine clothing that made me maybe feel like myself, but distracted from the fact that, like, I am in this, like, male dominant world. And I think that, you know, another reason that authenticity is such a buzzword for us right now is because we're living in a moment of change. You know, the women who came before us, they had a different purpose. They were change makers in different ways, right? Yeah. Like, our parents and early mentors especially were raised by the Silent Generation and the Greatest Generation. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of ways, those generations were traditionalists mm-hmm. and conformists. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our parents, a lot of our moms were at least alive and, you know, growing up during a time when they couldn't even have a credit card.
Yeah.
So, you know, their change was different, right? They were some of the first women to really, like, normalize working in a man's world.
Yeah.
And so, you know, today as we bridge, like, you know, how our parents were raised and in turn how we were raised to sort of blend in and maybe conform a little bit more, but we see for our future, we see our kids living these, like, really authentic lives. We're living in this moment of change where it's really up to us to be the ones that say, like, that's not working for me anymore.
Right.
How do I move into this? Like, how do I live authentically so that I can set the example for my kids to do the same?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah. It's just, it's a hard moment, but it's one that we, I think, just have to take full ownership of and figure out how we pave our own path.
Right.
So I guess on that note, how do you know when you are living authentically?
That good question. I think I could probably answer better, how do you know when you're not living authentically? Mm-hmm. And for me, it has always just been, I don't know, like, maybe like this pit in my stomach or just something just feeling a little off. And, you know, before I really started to think about this, you know, I would probably just brush it off, like, oh, I just had a bad day, or I'll feel better in the morning, you know? But lately, as I've been on this journey that we've been talking about and self-discovery, I have been trying to get really curious with myself and not be satisfied with just, oh, it's a bad day. No, why was it a bad day? Mm-hmm. You know, what happened today that didn't feel right? Why didn't it feel right? And I find myself, and I know we'll talk about this at some point, coming back to my core values. And that was an exercise that I did probably 18 months ago. And I'm telling you, I come back to those values daily, every day, when I'm thinking about decisions that I'm going to make in the future, when I'm thinking about saying yes or no to something, I'm coming back to those core values. And, you know, as I was preparing for this podcast today and this episode, I was trying to think of, you know, how do I answer your original question, which is, how do I know I'm living authentically? And then, you know, could I share an example with our listeners on a time where I was not living authentically and I made a change so that I could live authentically? And the best example I could come up with was, you know, in my last career, because I feel like I've had several careers throughout my professional life, in my last career, I was running a growing, successful insurance agency, right? And from the outside looking in, you would think, well, she's got it together. She's got a great team. They're helping people. This is what she always wanted to do. And don't get me wrong, it was. And all of those things were true, right? But what I started to feel, again, that like feeling in the pit of my stomach, was just this restlessness that was building. In the insurance industry, almost 60% of entry-level employees are women, yet less than 20% make it to the C-suite.
Wow.
And I threw it up against my core values. And one of my core values is making a difference. And I thought, I can stay here and work in the system and follow the rules that were never designed for me and make a difference in this small way. Or I think, as you said in one of our earlier episodes, I could tear it all down and start over again. Mm-hmm. And I just knew I had to do that. I knew that there were things that I had learned in my career, things that we were doing on our team that could benefit so many more people, women especially. And I couldn't keep it to myself anymore. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I got to where I am today.
Wow. So I'm curious, I have to ask.
Yeah.
What are your other core values?
Yeah. I have five.
Okay.
And so making a difference is one of them. Mm-hmm. Relationships is my second, growth, intentionality, and surprise, surprise, courageous authenticity.
I love that. It's so funny to hear all of the overlap in our core values. How did you figure out what your core values were?
Yeah. I wish I had a more scientific process for this, but I started with a list of probably 100 words that could be identified as a core value. And if you Google this, you can find a list of values. Mm-hmm. James Clear, who wrote Atomic Habits, has a great list that I would recommend using. And we could link to that. But I started with this list of, I don't know, probably 100. And I worked with a coach who helped me through this. But I whittled that list down to 20. And then I cut it in half to 10, and then I cut it in half again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, since that time that I did it, and it was only, like I said, a year and a half ago, I've looked back at that list, and these are still the five that I come back to. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I'll say that is important about your values is that clearly, you know, they are the things that are most important to you. They are the things that are going to help you guide your decisions. But they also have to be how you're living now. Like, they can't be too aspirational, right?
Yeah.
But so what are your core values?
Yeah. So I will tell you my core values. My core values are, there's so much overlap. It's so funny. growth.
Yeah.
Integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Balance. Connection and I would call it fearless authenticity.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I came up with these values, I actually, it's funny, I was curious to hear how you did it, because I have a core values, like, tool that you can use.
Yeah.
And it starts with a list of, I think there's like 400 or something that. But then, you know those like March Madness brackets?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you just like compare it like that. And then you just, you kind of repeat the process and backfill the values.
Uh-huh.
But we can link to that one too. But it's a really, I think it's a really important exercise, because I think the term core values, personal values, brand values, it sounds sort of trite. Like, you know, I could probably figure out what they are. You know, nobody actually really takes the time to figure them out, though, I think. Like, it's like, oh, I know what my values are. But I would guess that a lot of people couldn't just, like, rattle off their core values. Mm-hmm. And I do think it's an exercise worth exploring, because when it does come back to living authentically, you know, it brings that, like, level of ease into your life when you know that you're living within your values.
Yeah.
It makes decision-making so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
I think going back to your list of, like, how you know when you're living authentically,
yes.
it aligns really well with, like, living within your values.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that feeling of restlessness is, you know, something I'm also super familiar with. And I think that knowing your values helps you when you start to feel those feelings of restlessness, like, it gives you almost like a guiding light to go back to and say, like,
yeah.
like you said, I threw it up against my values, right?
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
it's just a tool that you can use to kind of, like, gauge whether you're living authentically or not.
Yes.
I would add, though, some things that I guess I feel when I know I'm not living authentically.
Yeah.
I would add, like, having a feeling, not just of restlessness, but, like, that something's missing, or that I'm lacking inspiration. So I love to work, especially when I believe in something.
Mm-hmm.
And when I am missing that element, I just feel really like blah. It's such
doesn't
a scientific
light you up,
word.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, like, one of the examples is I like to make a difference too. I like to work towards causes that are, you know, meaningful to me. And in the past, I've had these really big struggles with, like, I want to support a nonprofit or a charity that I really feel connected to.
Yeah.
But I can't find a connection with anything, because I'm just lacking that inspiration. It's just like, I want to help, but I know I'll help more when I feel empowered to do that, when I feel really connected to the cause. And it's just one example of lacking inspiration. And as I did my journey of, like, self-discovery and really, like, recognized my story and what makes me, I think one of the causes that just came back to me, you know, all of my kids, just a quick side note, all of my kids are NICU babies. And I spent a couple weeks in antepartum with my third baby, and I have a really soft spot for NICU moms.
Yeah.
And so taking that journey really just, like, helped me connect with something that I think really does light me up. It's something that I feel like I can, it's not just something I feel like I should do.
Yeah.
And so I think it all comes back to that, like, inner light, that feeling of inspiration. And,
yeah.
And when you don't have that at all in your life, something's missing.
Yeah.
And it's probably a void that's being created by living out of alignment with, like, your authenticity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, just to add on that, it's so important for women to identify and live out their core values, because I think underneath it all, like, we do have really giving hearts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when someone says, can you help with this, or can you support this, or can you come to school today and do this, our initial response is, yes, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Until the day comes, and then you're like, why did I sign up for that?
Yeah.
But if we just give ourselves the time to just pause, right? Look at your core values.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is that in alignment? At least with one of them, right? Ideally, it's in alignment with two or three of them.
Mm-hmm.
But just give yourself that pause before you say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because as I mentioned earlier, my values have helped me in my decision making, but also in deciding what I say yes and what I say no to.
Well, and I feel like that's an entirely new can of worms, right? Because especially if you bring up, like, your kid's school, you know, if they ask you to come in and do something like that,
yeah.
I think so many of us say yes immediately out of obligation. And, you know, just because, like, well, I can, like, I have a job that's flexible, so I can be there, so I should be there. Like, I'm supposed to be there for my kids and, like, you know, all of these ways. But, yeah, I feel like boundary setting is something that we need to dive into at some point.
Yes, add it to the list.
Yeah. So, okay, if we are going to give our friends here some tips and tricks about, like, what they can do to, like, live more authentically, like, what are some things that you would tell them to do?
Well, I think we've talked about values, 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 right? I would highly recommend, however you go about that, clearly we have some resources that could help with that. It's worth the investment. It's worth the investment for you individually, but also if you lead a team of people, go through that process with them too. In my last career, it took us the better part of a year to come up with values, but I wanted them to be values that we lived, that we could recite, that we incorporated into every aspect of our business. So values, values, values. I would also say though, like, again, they're just a tool in your toolbox, right? So other things that I would recommend are just being curious, like we talked about, asking questions. And then the last thing I would say is find other women to do this work with, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're like, Julie, I can't ask myself questions, that's weird. Well, sit down with a friend over a cup of coffee and have her ask you the questions until you get to the root of it. You don't have to do this alone. But you should do it.
Yeah.
Would you add anything to that?
Yeah. And I think the curiosity is one that I love the rule of threes. And I think that when you're trying to really get at the core of something that lives really deep within you, I think you have to ask yourself, like, why three times? Like, you have to go like three, like, you know, if you want to make this decision and you're leaning in one direction, why? And then when you have that answer, ask yourself why again. And I think it almost like takes several layers to really like get at the root, you know, to keep it from being superficial. But yeah, I think that continuing your journey of self-discovery is really important. I think that it's a journey of self-discovery is exactly that. It's a journey. It's not like a one-time thing.
Right.
You have to revisit these things over and over again so that you're constantly, you know, knowing who you are and how you're changing and recognizing where those edges are, because as you do step into fear and embrace fear a little bit more, your edges are going to change. And because of that, you're going to change. And so I think just, you know, continuing that journey is really important. I think another thing is, well, I think learning to trust your intuition, which again, I think that could be an entire topic we could dive into as well, but really trusting your intuition and knowing that, like, when you have an inner knowing, follow it. There's a reason that you have that feeling. And I think in business, living authentically sort of means two things. It means the fulfillment that you get when you are living authentically, that you're making a difference with the people that you want to make a difference with. And I think it also means connecting with people who are like-minded. And I think understanding what your story is and how to tell it is a really important way to show up authentically in your business. The goal is not to be all things to all people. The goal is not to show up how you think you're supposed to show up. It's to show up as yourself, knowing who you want to help and how you want to help them and why you want to help them.
Yeah.
So that you can connect better with people and make a bigger impact in their lives. And in turn, really, that's going to help you grow your business bigger, because people don't buy products and services. They're buying you. And so the more you know your story, the more willing you are to share your story, and the more able you are to tell your story in an effective way, I think the more you make those connections. And without authenticity, you really don't have the ability to make that connection with yourself or with other people.
Yeah.
So I would definitely encourage people to dive into brand storytelling. And again, I feel like that's, you know, something we could dive into a lot deeper at a later time.
Well, I think that's one of the hardest lessons as I'm building this business that I've had to learn is that I'm not for everyone, mm-hmm. and that's okay.
Yeah, man, that's a hard pill to swallow sometimes. But
yeah, because again, I think it goes back to that helping heart, and mm-hmm. I want to help everyone, mm-hmm. but that's not the most, you know, if I go back to my values, that's not how I'm going to make the biggest difference, right?
It's almost like deeper than that, though. It's like, I think we all want people to like us, right? And there's a fear that, like, comes when you're, like, if I put myself out there too much and it's, like, a subject that's, you know, kind of polarizing, like, who's gonna stop liking me because I, like, put that out there?
But yeah.
I just think it's something we have to, well, A, be more willing to do, but B, be more willing to hear other people.
Yeah,
do that and accept it, right? Like, we can be different and still really like each other. So it's,
yeah,
we have a lot of change to make here.
Yeah. I'm up for it. How about you?
Oh, I am. It's hard work, but here we are.
All right. Jess, what are you taking off this week?
Okay. So yeah, this week, what am I taking off? I am taking off the feeling that I need to always be available. And again, I think this goes into boundary setting, but I, you know, as I'm switching my fields of work, I have had this past habit of always being available.
Yeah.
And I'm not willing to let that impact my family time anymore. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have a big weekend full of kids' activities, and I know that, you know, I've always prided myself on being available for my clients.
Yeah.
But I know that, you know, after the soccer games and the sporting events, my kids are going to say, "Mom, did you see when mm-hmm. I did this? Or did you see when I did that?" And if I'm distracted by my phone or I'm trying to be available, I probably didn't see it. And mm-hmm. and I want to see it because I want them to know that I'm paying attention. So I'm setting better boundaries this weekend and I'm unavailable.
Yeah. I love that for you. We were even talking about it before we hit the record button today. I had some important people texting me mm-hmm. and I felt the need to get back to them right away. Mm-hmm. But then I wasn't able to give you the full attention that you deserve. And I should have just said, you know what? You are really important to me. I'm going to be available at noon. Mm-hmm. and they probably would have been okay with that. I would have been okay with that if somebody said that to me, right? It wasn't mm-hmm. a life or death situation. But so often we don't set those boundaries. And then, like, the even harder part is actually respecting those boundaries.
Oh my gosh, I know.
So, like, leave your phone in your car mm-hmm. this weekend. Don't let it tempt you.
I'm not. That's, I'm doing it. I will remember this conversation come this weekend.
Good.
What are you taking off?
Yeah. It's funny. I know that multitasking is not a thing. I get it. Like, I've read all the articles. It's not actually a thing. What we actually do is task switch. So I am taking off task switching this week because I have a lot of great things happening in my business right now, and I need to be intentional. Intentionality is one of my core values mm-hmm. about blocking off time to give each of those things the undivided attention that they deserve. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'm taking off this week is task switching.
Well, I cannot wait to check back with you next week to see how it went and how you did it, because I need a lot of help with that too. So take notes and teach us your ways.
I will. See, this is accountability, right? This is why you need your people in your life.
It's true.
All right, Jess, this was fun.
All right, we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.